Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
I talked about community, and today I get to talk about love by serving. And we're just going to take a second. Lord, we just invite you to come and be present and be amongst us as I share the word, and that you would speak through me, and that we would feel a connection with you as we move forward. We pray this in your name. Amen. So I got a big question for you today, and I'm going to try to unpack it from that as we go forward. And the big question for you to think about, it is, what do superheroes and Christmas presents have to do with church? Weird question, right? What do superheroes and Christmas presents have to do with church? I want to answer that question today in two different parts, but it's all about how we love the church. Like I said before, Mel talked about community last week, and community and serving have big implications for our church community, for Yellowknife Vineyard. So let's start with superheroes and superpowers, right? When you were growing up, did you have a favorite superhero? Yes. What's that? The Flash. All right. Think about that. Who was your superhero growing up? Anybody else?
Spider-Man.
The webbing. What's that? Spider-Man 2? No? I didn't hear what you said. Oh, okay. But I'm going to share mine. Mine was Superman. Superman was my superhero. He was a normalish guy, right? But, well, that's why I say normal-ish, right? He came from somewhere else, but when you looked at him, he looked like a regular guy, right? But, thank you, Rachel. Thank you. One of the things that attracted me to him being my superhero is, if you ever noticed, he was always wearing a suit, always wearing a tie. And I have a fascination with ties, so now one of my kids shares that fascination, so you probably see him on Sundays wearing ties. The other thing is, he wore glasses. It was a disguise, which sometimes you're like, how do you disguise yourself just with wearing glasses? But anyways, since I was five, I've been wearing glasses. So I identify with Superman having to wear glasses, right? So there's connections there. That's what made him my superhero. Aside from the fact that he could see through walls, or that he could start a fire with his vision, right? Or I think the ultimate for me is that he could fly, right? So many of us think about, what would we like to fly? I know it's probably, there's some people here that probably tried skydiving. I've never been brave enough to do that. But, you know, some people do that. But imagine flying. Superman was a man for me when I was growing up. I got to dress up as Superman for Halloween once when I was in the childcare center, but that's a different story. Now, you might be saying that talking about superheroes and superpowers is kid stuff. It's all children's stuff. But there's millions of dollars of profits from superhero movies that would say otherwise. Do you guys agree with that? Now, I looked up the word superhero in Webster, so Merriam-Webster's dictionary. I went online and I searched it, and they define superhero as a fictional hero having extraordinary or superhuman powers, also an exceptionally skillful or successful person. Now, I don't mean to criticize Merriam-Webster on their ability to curate definitions or create them or share it with us, but I think this one is incomplete. I think there's more to being a superhero. It's more than just extraordinary superpowered or exceptionalities or exceptionally skilled people. That's not even half of what makes a hero who they are. Superheroes are superheroes because they utilize their abilities within a certain context in a specific way. Now, I'm hoping some of you guys are familiar with superheroes. I don't know. I heard Spider-Man and Flash. Now, who is the superhero of Metropolis? Superman, yes. Who is the superhero of Gotham City? Batman. So as you can see, they all had a context. Now, a little bit harder, who was the superhero of New York City?
Spider-Man
was in New York City. Is he the only one? No. You also got Supergirl, Doctor Strange. So there's a variety of superheroes that come from New York. And there's reasons behind that, right? But it's just, I just want to point out that all of them have a context, right? They've used their skills, their superpowers within a specific context, and they're related to that context. So it doesn't matter what the superpower is someone may claim to have, whether it be looking through walls or flying or webbing like Spider-Man or super strength, anything else. If they aren't using their power within the specific context to help in a specific way, then they're just somebody sitting on a couch, somebody regular, just sitting on a chair, going about their own life. Having superpowers is one thing, but it takes action to become a hero. If you're a follower of Jesus, did you know that God has given you superpowers that you can be a superhero? Yes, we're going to tell you why. I'm not saying that he has given you x-ray vision or super strength or even the ability to fly. He also hasn't made it possible that there'll be movies made about you or made you famous and have lots of money and fame. Realistically, most of us are never going to be known widely. But I believe that fame is not part of the equation in what makes a superhero. A superhero is someone who utilizes his or her abilities in a specific context to help in a specific way. In fact, I think part of loving the church is being a hero God has made you to be. And the hero has made you to be has superpowers. And he has made you a part of a superpower team. Our context here, you know, that vineyard, our community has needs, and the city that we live in has needs. Now let's talk more about the superpowers. You have superpowers, and we call those spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 starts off as letting us know that Paul, who is the author of the letter, is going to talk about spiritual gifts. And then elaborating them with the scripture that he read for us, thank you. It says, now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works in all things, in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That is the word of the Lord. The part I want to zoom in is the last part of verse number 6. God works all things in all persons, meaning that God empowers gifts in his followers. Let's spend a little bit more time on this first part. God gives each and one of us, his followers, at least one, sometimes more than one, spiritual gifts. Now, what is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is a Holy Spirit empower ability that is given to serve others. It is a spiritual superpower. If you want to go back to Merriam-Webster, it'll tell you that it's a supernatural power. It is given to you to be used in a specific context to help in a specific way. Now, this is not a complete list. So I just put that disclaimer out there, but I'm going to go through a list of some of the spiritual gifts that God gives us as his followers. And I'm going to start with the first one is prayer. The spiritual gift of prayer. This is a unique ability to intercede faithfully and constantly before God for the needs of people and ministries. Often these prayer warriors see God answering prayer in exceptional ways. And then they can share that with the rest of us. another spiritual gift is evangelism. All Christians, all of us, are called to share the gospel. But there are some that are given an extra measure of faith and effectiveness in this area. The Greek word for evangelist is, no, I'm going to butcher that, so just, I'm going to try to pronounce it, evangelistis, which means one who brings good news. Evangelists are given the unique ability by the Holy Spirit to clearly and effectively communicate the gospel to others. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't all share the gospel. We can share the gospel with whoever we know, but there are some people that are gifted in sharing that with others. Another spiritual gift is knowledge. This is a special ability to discover and comprehend the truth that we gain from the Bible. The details, the various themes, and the message of the Bible as a whole, as it applies to any situation. Then we have shepherding. It's a special ability to guide, nurture, and care for individuals and groups in the church so that they grow in their faith and spiritual maturity. And then you have teaching. The ability to teach, to train, and encourage Christians in a way of Christ with clarity and faithfulness in the Bible. Then we have the gift of administration, a special ability to be a leader for a church or a group in directing and planning life and maintaining order. The special ability to plan and execute procedures that increase effectiveness. Then you have leadership. The unique ability to motivate others, to equip, to direct in ministry of Christ. This ability is always tempered by a loving concern for those who are being led. And I want to highlight that because it's a shirt, right? The heart, the love. Then we have discernment. The special ability to see through the spiritual motives in people, events and actions, and to determine whether or not they are from God. And then vision or faith. It's the ability to see what isn't and to believe and act through faith in what it will be because God will do it. Especially when you talk about advancing the kingdom. And now I list them again, just quickly. And then again, this is not an extensive list. It's not all of them in here. But you got prayer, evangelism, knowledge, shepherding, teaching, administration, leadership, discernment, vision. Now there are two really important things to remember about spiritual gifts. The first one, God is the one who picked yours. God is the one who picked yours. The passage tells us that God is the one who empowers us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Romans 12:6 says, "We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us." It's important to realize that we didn't apply, we didn't request, we didn't campaign, we didn't petition, or do a Kickstarter campaign for any of these gifts. God, in his infinite wisdom, his love, his care, and power, he knew exactly which gifts were going to be for you. You are built and you are best suited for the gifts that he picked for you. So, let's not waste any time sometimes being jealous of someone else because of the gifts that they have. But we should be spending time developing our own gifts. Just think about it. God blessed you and entrusted you with this specific ability to make a difference in your community and in the world. So the second thing to remember is that spiritual gifts, they are spirit-empowered gifts. When you hear the list of possible gifts, maybe some of you are saying, well, I know a lot of good teachers. I had some really good teachers in my life. And some of them don't even know God. They didn't even like God. I feel like when I went to university, there were some places, some lecture halls, where God wasn't welcome then, right? And they actually talked the opposite of that. But there were some good teachers in those spaces. So if teaching is a spiritual gift, how does that fit into that? How can they be good teachers if they weren't given the gift of teaching? Great question. I've been thinking about that. As you all know, my regular 9-to-5 job is being an instructor for early childhood. And I teach. And I just mentioned it's very different teaching there than teaching here. I feel like over there is a lot easier, to be honest. But it's something that I'm working on. The thing to realize is that there are a lot of really good teachers out there. And some are really amazing, incredible teachers. But there's a difference between great teaching and teaching empowered by the Spirit. One is exhibiting their natural ability, which is also God-given. And the other is exhibiting an ability infused by the power of the Spirit of God to speak in such a way that surpasses on of information and inspiration. One teaching with a spiritual gift or one teaching because of their teaching ability is very different. One is guided by the Spirit, powered by the Spirit, supported by the Spirit, and sustained by the Spirit. It is incredibly different. Now, you know, I like analogies, so I'll give you an example of how to think about it. Everybody know who Mike Tyson is? He's a boxer, right? He has a natural ability. If he was to throw you a punch, or throw anybody a punch, it would be powerful. It would hurt. And that's his natural talent. Now, I'm not saying that Superman is a god, but, or that Superman knew God, but think about that. If Superman throws a punch, do you think he's going to hurt way more? I think so. And because he doesn't just have a natural ability, but we've established that Superman has a supernatural ability. He's been given a superpower, just like we have. There are many great leaders throughout history, but someone leading with the gift of leadership is exhibiting something supernatural. You have been given an amazing ability to be used by God. That, to me, is exciting. It might also be slightly confusing because the natural question is, what are my gifts? What are your gifts? There's a lot of, Mel worked through that, I think it was the end of last year, we went through a spiritual gifts inventory. And just pause here for a second. If you want to know more about your gifts, come talk to one of us. We'll help you find and define that for you. But it's not, yeah. We'll help you find out what your gift is. But there's also different ways here that I'm going through that you can discover your gifting when you move forward. And the first one is, I encourage you to experiment in serving. Get involved in the church somewhere. If you're not sure where, then talk to one of us. Josh is up there, Mel, Jessica, myself. Talk to one of us. Why don't you try a ministry for a couple of months and see if it fits? After some time, ask, how is it going? As the leader of the ministry, how is things going? If you are both ecstatic about how things are working, then that really is where you should be serving. If one of both of you feel like it's not your area, then don't be discouraged, because we're trying things. And maybe move on to something else, a different area of ministry. The big thing is, where do we see results? Specifically, where do you see results of impacting for Jesus? If you're gifted in a specific way, it is going to bring people to Jesus. Help people in their relationship with Jesus. Show people Jesus. Now, having given you the suggestion of trying out different ministries, the second thing you can do is ask others. Ask specific people in your life. Ask specific people who have spent time with you, who you trust, and whom you know you love and love you. Ask them the ways they see God using you in the church community. Specific questions that you could ask are, when you hear the different spiritual gifts, which ones come to mind when you think of me? What am I doing when you see Jesus in me or coming out of me? How is it that I make this community better? Now remember, this is not to be prideful or to make our heads big. It is to help us discover how God has gifted us, how God has specifically gifted you. No one will know better than the people who are in your community, who you are in community with, and who you hopefully are serving with. The second thing is you check your energy level. As you try the different serving opportunities, ask yourself, how are you feeling? If you're tired, dreading going to do this service or whatever is happening, if you're not feeling the passion, then whatever you're doing probably isn't something you should be doing. It's not your gift. You need to look for the things that give you life. Serving with the supernatural power that God has given you gives you life. Now, if you're ready to go, if you are looking forward to the opportunity, feeling passion, and there's more to it, you want more, then that is, you're in the right place. That is your right gifting. It's the right place for you to serve. Whatever your gifts are, your gift or your gifts are, they're supernaturally given to you by God. They are something you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do, not your own gain or your own benefit. You have a superpower in this church, and you're not alone. You have a superpower team. Everybody knows the Avengers? Superpower team. And here, in our context, we call it the Yellowknife Vineyard Church. That is our superpower team. Now, one of the things I liked about the movie Avengers, I didn't watch them all because it's more than one now, but it wasn't about one person. The Avengers were a team, an ensemble, a group of people, a group of superheroes. And they couldn't meet the specific needs of Earth alone. They needed one another. This is God's plan for you and for me as well. Listen to Romans 12 again. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so that as to have sound judgment. As God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in exhortation, he who gives, with liberty, he who leads, with diligence, he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. This passage complements what we read in 1 Corinthians 12, that you and I, we need each other. Here's the thing that might be hard to grasp. But we have to allow the scriptures to guide us. The gift was not given to you just for you. The Bible teaches us that spiritual gifts are given to us, but for others. They're given to us for others. What does 1 Corinthians 12:7 say about that? That your gifts and my gifts were given to for the common good. Your gifts were given to you to help others, to serve others, to benefit others. They weren't given for you or enjoyment. Romans 12:4-5 is going to clarify that we purposely and specifically, by design, don't all function the same way with our gifting. We have different gifts because we need one another. Romans 12:5 even takes it so far as to say that we are members of one another. Meaning each member belongs to all the others. So your gifts aren't yours, they're or mine, or mine are mine. And my gifts aren't really mine, but they're also yours. Because God made the DNA of this church to be supernaturally infused with all of the gifts that we all represent. This should be a lesson in both humility and responsibility for us. Humility, because the gift is not about us, but a responsibility, because God knew someone else who needed your help. God knew someone else who needed to experience God working through our gifts to minister to them. Now, I'm not sure how familiar you are with superhero movies and specifics of the movies, but Thor couldn't save the world on his own. He needed the rest of the Avengers. It's the same for the rest of us. Same for the rest of them in that movie. The truth of the matter is that God doesn't need any of us, but he chooses to use and invites us to use, to be used by him. Isn't that something? He doesn't need any of us, but he chooses to use us. And we need to make the same choice if that's what we want. But by doing that, he brings us together in a church community. He's mobilizing us together. He's teaming us up together. He's using us together as one. Sure, there's strength in numbers, but numbers brought together by the hand of God and empowered by God, that's more like supernatural strength. Amen? That's the type of power that can change a church for God, to change a neighborhood for God, to change a nation for God, change the world for the gospel. You have been given superpowers. You are part of a superpower team. But remember, to have power, just to have power doesn't make you a hero. It takes action. The superpower team here of Yellowknife Vineyard Church has a community and a city in need. This church needs you. This community needs you. This neighborhood around us needs you. Not because they need you specifically, but because they need God. And God, in his wisdom and plan, has decided that he would empower us with the ability to serve one another and the world around us. We have a children's ministry going on in the back, and the ministry needs people to model Jesus to the kids in this church. We have youth in this church who need the same, who need role models. We have an audiovisual team in the back that needs helpers. We need an ushering team that likes to greet people who need help. We have a mission and mercy team that extends us beyond this neighborhood, beyond our community here. They need help. We have a mercy ministry who goes out and serves those on the street that need help. This city has a lot of people that need the gifts that God has given you to be in action and in motion. Can you imagine, just for a little bit, right now, just think about it. Can you imagine what our church would be like if everyone was flowing in their gifting? Can you imagine what our community would be like, what the city would be like, if we were all serving in ways that utilize the gifts that God has given us? Think about it. Imagine it. Now let's go back to my original question when I started this morning. What do superheroes and Christmas presents have to do with church? Now we talked a lot about superheroes, superpowers, but I haven't spoken about Christmas or Christmas gifts. So I'm going to switch gears, change the topic a little bit. Let's talk about Christmas presents. With a show of hands, who likes Christmas presents? Yes. Do we know somebody that doesn't like Christmas presents? I can think of one. The Grinch. Right? The Grinch does not like Christmas presents. But by the show of hands, it seems like everybody else does here. Picture again to your childhood. Picture being 6 years old and looking forward to opening a Christmas present. Now, maybe that wasn't your Christmas experience, and I'm sorry for that. I just hope that you can imagine with us what it would be like to open that Christmas present, seeing that present there. You wake up and you see this massive present. It's just waiting to be opened, waiting to be discovered, and just waiting to be used and enjoyed. Now, as you picture that, now picture just looking at it, you're shrugging your shoulders and you say, eh, and you walk away. Never opening the gift. I feel like there would be something wrong with that. Would you agree? And I think you know where I'm going with this. You were given a gift. You need to open your gift. Don't just leave your gift sitting there. What do superheroes and Christmas presents have to do with the church? If you are a follower of Jesus who is not utilizing the spiritual gift that God has given you for the betterment of the church and community, then you are like a Christmas present that's ignored and unopened. You are walking up to the gift that God has given you, shrugging your shoulders and saying, ah, and walking away. That's not how it's supposed to be. Now, one of the final questions here. Why did God give you to our church? Why did God give you to our church? Most of the time when we talk about church, we ask a different question. We normally ask, what can we get out of church? And I think that's the wrong question. It's not about what we can get out of church. It's why did God give you to this community? There's a purpose. God has a plan. He has given you to this church a specific context to serve in a specific way. Was it because of your teaching? Was it because of your leadership? Maybe your encouragement? Your discernment. Whatever it makes you, you. Whatever makes you the superpowered you. Why did God give us the gift of you? Don't be an open gift. Discover the gifting that God has empowered you with. Discover the ways that you can possibly utilize those gifts. We don't all have it all figured out, but together, we can come together because we need one another, and we can figure those things out. If you want to know more about what your gifts are, talk to one another, ask others, try out a ministry, speak to one of the pastors. Be the gift that you are. Serve the church and this community the way that God made you to do, with the gifts that He's given you. Be a hero for Jesus. And I'm encouraging people to do that, but I also don't want to feel like saying, I'm not saying that people are not doing that. There's lots of people in this church that are serving, and we're thankful for that. And God has empowered you to serve in the ways that you are serving. And this church is who it is because you do that. And I want to take a moment to thank everybody that is using their gifts already to serve. And I want everybody to have that opportunity. You guys know that I like to think about how things happen in my life and in our family. And we've spoken a lot of times about the things that happen in our lives. And one of the things that I mentioned was Jess and I losing a baby in December. Sorry. Probably one of the hardest things ever. But there was people around in the church that I looked at as my superheroes. There was people that provided food for us. There was people that prayed for us. And sometimes I'm not the easiest person to talk to about emotions. And that's just the way I'm built. But there's people that would constantly check and say, how are you doing with this? We know what happened. How are you doing with that? That simple check-in is like, I get this picture in my mind of those people having capes, right? So they're wearing a cape. Because to me, that is serving one another. And there's lots of examples. There's things like just having a rough day, and her friend stopping by and saying hello and giving her a hug. Just having a rough day and another friend showing up with a special drink for her. There's things that happen in our church when we serve one another with the gifts that God has given us that make an impact in our lives. When we have Pierre and Angela come back, they are very thankful for the church family and community. Every time we speak to people that have babies, they're very thankful for the community that I belong to. Something as simple as providing a meal for a family is serving, is using our supernatural powers to help and serve one another. So I encourage you not to be an unopened Christmas present, but use your gifts to serve one another and to serve God, because He's the one that picked that gift for you. He's the one that empowers you. So seek God. Discover your gifts. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.